everyone. Well, I'm grateful for this opportunity to teach and really excited about it. I found this study years and years ago. I don't think I've ever taught it anywhere, but when I saw it, it was huge to me. And so I'm hoping that is translated to you tonight. So I hope that you will follow along and you'll read in the Bible with me, turn in your Bible and read with me and get this. Before we start, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get going. Father, I thank you for your word. Without this, we'd have nothing to say and nothing to listen to. So it's all important. And I pray that as we open it and teach it, that you would guide us through it, help us to hear it and understand it, and then apply it to our life. And we'll be grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you would, please take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. And we're going to read two verses, verses 26 and 27. Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Turn back a page and chapter 13, and let's look at another verse. Verse 14, Proverbs 13, 14 says, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Does that sound familiar? Amen. Did we just read that in 14? So when you look at 13, 14, it says the law of the Lord, or the law of the wise, is a fountain of life. When you look at 14, 27, it says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Well, why is that? They are the same thing. The law of the wise and the fear of the Lord are the same thing. They're both a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death, right? So the law, when we talk about the law, we're talking about God's law, its instruction, its teaching, it's rules by which to live life successfully, and that comes from God's word. Amen? So, the law of the wise and the fear of the Lord are the same thing, and they both mean the word of God. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. When I saw this, it changed some things for me. I was able to understand a lot more about the Bible understanding this. So we're going to take a lot of the Bible and prove this out, okay? We're going to do a word study on the fear of the Lord and some other phrases and words and prove this out. So go with me, please, to Psalm 19. And as you're turning past Psalm 119, mark that place. We're going to use that in just a minute. And go to Psalm 19. The premise is that the fear of the Lord in these verses is the Word of God. And we're going to try to prove that out. So, Psalm 19, verse 7, says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, the law of the Lord here is the Word of God. So if you replace law and you put the Word of God in there, the Word of God is perfect, converting the soul. That makes sense, right? All right, so the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The testimony is the word of God. The statutes, verse 8, of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And you know that because have you ever been reading the Bible or studying the Bible and your heart rejoices at what you're reading or what you're studying and you get deeper into that study and you just can't let it go because it's just so rejoicing to you, and you're wrapped up in it, right? You know this is true. The statutes are the word of God. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment is the word of God. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean and right and enduring forever. The fear of the Lord right here, just like it, what we've seen in the other words in these verses, means the word of God. And it is clean and it endures forever. The Bible says, Psalm 119 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And finally, in verse 9, it says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, and the judgments are, or is, the word of God. So every little phrase that we see in these verses has a reference to the word of God, whether it's testimony or statutes or commandment or whatever, it's talking about the word of God. All right? So as we passed from Proverbs back to Psalms, I asked you to hold your place in Psalm 119. So let's go there. Psalm 119 is a unique chapter. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, and almost every verse has a mention of the Word of God in it. Not every verse, but almost every verse. So first, let's look at Psalm 119, verse 18. It says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We know that the law of the wise means the word of God, right? We saw that. So this law is the word of God. He says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law or out of thy word. Don't we long for that? I just do. We all do. So look at Psalm 119, 88. And 99. 119:88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. What comes out of the mouth? Words. God's word. The testimony is the word of God. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony, keep thy word, the testimony of thy mouth. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I meditate on thy word, and that's a good thing to do. So let's just look at a couple of others. Let's see. They're all over the place. 72, verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The word of God means more to us than gold and silver. Verse 97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. 59 and 60, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony. As I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. It's all the word of God. Amen. So, go back to Psalm 19 in verse 9. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean. John 15:3 says, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word of God it cleanses. Now make no mistake about it. The blood of Christ cleanses from all sin, right? Amen. But after we're saved, the Bible cleanses. First of all, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto thy law is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so as we're walking through life, we are prone to get off course and wander a little bit, right? And so the Bible, it sheds light on where we're going and what we're doing. And if we've got some sin in our life, it exposes that. Amen. And so it's the lamp. It's a lamp and a light unto our path. And the fear of the Lord is clean. Verse 9. I thought I'd lost my place. The fear of the Lord is clean. Now you are clean through the word. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. Psalm 12:6 says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's clean, brother. That's pure. That's unspotted, untainted. It's clean. And it says, the fear of the Lord is clean. The word of God is clean. Did you know that you can't get clean with something dirty? Amen. You get clean with something clean, and there's nothing cleaner or more pure than the word of God. Amen? Amen. And so, this I like the last part of this verse, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. This is talking about removing the dross from the silver. If you know anything about mining for silver, you know, they take that ore, they take that rock, and they pull it off the mountain, and they crush it into tiny little pieces, and then they separate the silver from the metal from the rock, and somehow, and then they melt that silver down at a very high temperature, and it turns it into molten silver. Well, at the top is where the dross is. That's the impurities. All right? And so the impurities rise to the top, and they just skim the top, leaving clean, pure silver. Well, the Bible, it says that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. They do it seven times it goes through this purification. That's pure, brother. There's no spot in that. You know, if you take a silver bullion coin, an American Eagle, for example, that's 3/9 pure silver, 99.9%. A Canadian maple leaf is 4/9 pure, 99.99%. That's the straight stuff, brother. Now, that's the best that man can do. But this, we're talking about God's word here. It's pure, and it's clean. And it endures forever. So go back, if you would, to Proverbs 14. And let's look a little bit closer at these two verses that we started with. Now, I need your help, if you can help me. What is, everybody together, what is the first word of Proverbs 14:26? What is it? In. Inside. So I think of it like this. Inside something, there is something. All right? So think of it like this. Inside your body is your heart. If you go down to the bank and you open an account and you put money in the account, then inside the account is your money, right? So in the fear of the Lord, or inside the Word of God, is something, and that is strong confidence and a place of refuge. That is a blessing. Strong confidence. Look, the world is seeking. The world talks about confidence all the time. Oh, we're confident people. We're sure of ourselves and all of this. Our confidence needs to be in God, Amen. Not ourselves. Amen. Self-confidence is destructive. It gets us anywhere else but where we need to be with God. Amen. Our confidence needs to be in Him. Where do we get that confidence? From His Word. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence and a place of refuge. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is the Word of God. Now, there's also 200 other names for Him, but that's one of His names. And I love that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He created everything, and He's the Word of God. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. A strong tower is a place of refuge. And the righteous runneth into it. Where do you go when you're extremely heavy with burdens and cares and disaster in your life, and things are all kinds of messed up in your life, where do you go? Yes, ma'am. This book right here. This is where we flee. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Psalm 119, 114 says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." I hope in thy word. That's our hope. My hiding place and my shield. Verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." Go back to, we won't turn there, but Psalm 42, 1 says, "As the hart or the deer or wildlife panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Amen. We're like that deer. We crave that water. We're thirsty. We need that water. And our soul needs God. So where do we go to get what we need from God? His word. That's it. This whole thing, if you haven't noticed, is all about the word of God. Amen. There isn't anything better. We have, like I said in the prayer, we have nothing to talk about if we don't have this book. If this book isn't true, and this book isn't what it says it is, where are we? We're a mess. Psalm 42, verse 2 says, "My soul thirsteth for God." Just like that deer, my soul thirsteth, the deer thirsting for water, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Our soul in this dry and barren land called the world thirsts, and we get our thirst quenched from the word of God. You know, the other thing too is, I think of Ephesians 5:26, the last part of that verse says the washing of water by the word. You know that the picture here of this deer and the fountain of life, it's a spring, it's a river, it's a well, it's a fountain, and it quenches thirst, but it also cleanses. Washing of water by the word. I already mentioned the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path and how it exposes, you know, sin in our life. So the last part of this verse 27 says to depart from the snares of death. I mean, you can go anywhere in the Bible and find out what the snares of death are, but we're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 12 through 22. I'll read just 12 through 20. But let's get a little context here and start in verse 10. It says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, then discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. For what purpose? To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Now we're talking about the snares of death, right? And here are some places where you'll find those snares. These kinds of people and places and things. So she flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. And those are some of the snares of life and or of death. And we see, there's many other places where you can see those. So, a couple of other places where this phrase, the fear of the Lord, is found. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Where do you get knowledge? From the Word of God. Proverbs 1:29 says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They hated knowledge. They did not choose the word of God. This could be a plural meaning, the fear of the Lord, as we often think of verses that talk about fearing God and you know, those kinds of verses, respect, the reverence and respect and awe of God. That could have this meaning right here as well. But they hated knowledge and did not choose, whether it's the respect or and reverence and awe of God or the word of God, they reject it completely. They don't want to have anything to do with God. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Again, where do you get wisdom? The word of God. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. And you get the knowledge of the and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. All right, so we're almost done here. Proverbs 2:1-4. I want to bring this point out, because in Proverbs, we'll read this and then I'll say that. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, this is one of those if-then scenarios, okay? If you do this, then this will happen. I like those because it's really clear. If you do this, then this will happen. You can count on it because God said it would happen. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know how you learn the Bible? You know how you understand? Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord or the Bible itself and find the knowledge of God. You know how you do that? You search for it. If you do these things, I mean, this is hard works. Incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply your heart, cry after knowledge, lift up thy voice. That has the idea of really getting a hold of God and saying, I don't know your book. I want to know your book. And crying out to God and getting in touch with God and saying, show me. Teach me thy word, you know, and things like that. Crying, seek her as silver, search for her for hid treasures. You know, it's not just laying right out on the surface and you just scoop it up and put it in your pocket and go on your way. You've got to work for it. Amen. And listen, I hate to say it, but you know it's true. There's a lot of Christians that just don't have any idea of this book. And they're missing tremendous blessings because they don't know it. They don't understand it. Verse 5 says, we read verse 5, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth come out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So the words wisdom, knowledge, and understanding there's a heavy, heavy concentration of those three words in the first four books of Proverbs. I went through and I circled wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And then I took a colored pencil and I colored in wisdom in orange. I colored in understanding in blue and I colored in knowledge in yellow. And when you do that, I don't know if you can see it right here, but those words just pop off the page. And when you see how much emphasis God puts on wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in one place, then it really behooves us to understand why he did that and what is it saying to us. These are very important verses. Important for adults, but really important for children. You know, your grandchildren can benefit from these. Your children can benefit, and we will benefit from these. Now, one thing I I thought about saying early on is this fear of the Lord that we're talking about tonight is not the same as other places in the Bible where you see fearing God and fear God and other references to that respect and reverence and awe of God. They're different. Amen. And I thought it's peculiar that it says in the fear of the Lord. And it really does, I don't know if it really makes that much sense to say in the reverence of God or in the respect of God is strong confidence in a place of refuge. I guess you could make that work. But man, when you see it as what it is, the Word of God, then it really comes alive and it makes sense. It really makes a lot of sense. So what are we supposed to do with the Word of God? What are we supposed to do with the Bible? 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." We're supposed to read the Word of God. We're supposed to memorize it. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." So when you eat something, you ingest it, you take it in, and that's what we need to do with memorizing Scripture. We take it in. This is not likely to happen, okay, but it happened to Israel a long time ago. What if Nebuchadnezzar was right at our borders, right at our coasts, and right at our borders, north and south, and he was ready to do to Israel what he did to Israel, and come in and burn everything to the ground and take us captive somewhere and burn every Bible and every scriptural book in the country? Would you have enough scripture in your heart to get you through those tough days that are coming? Do you have enough to encourage you? Do you have enough to encourage somebody else? That's not likely to happen, but in this crazy world, the government could at the flick of a pen say your Bibles are banned. Do you have scripture in your heart that you can meditate on and use? Since you no longer have this book, do you have that? We're supposed to meditate on the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself halfway to them." Is that what it says? That's not what it says. Give thyself wholly to them, completely to them. Do we do that? Joshua 1:8. I like Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt..." "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Success is mentioned one time in the Bible, and it's right here. And what does it have to do with? Meditating on God's Word. The emphasis is on God's Word. Psalm 1, verse 2, I'll just read this real quick. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Malachi 3:16, I love this verse. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and a book of remembrance was written before him, God, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." There is a book that God is keeping, that has all of our conversations about all the things of God that we talk about. And it's written for us, somehow or another. He's going to bring that out, and it's going to show conversations maybe that we had with each other. And to them that feared the Lord and that thought means meditation on his word. We're supposed to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're supposed to preach and to teach the word of God. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we are finally supposed to love the word of God. Psalm 119:113 says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. And I love the word of God. I love to talk about the word of God. When I saw this fear of the Lord in this light, it changed things. I mean, it just opened up some things. And the emphasis that God puts on his word cannot be overestimated. Or look, Psalm 138, verse 2, the last part of that verse says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And he's got a lot of big names. He has an emphasis on his book, and we need to share that same emphasis. We need to do these things that the Bible says to do so we can help others, so we can help ourselves, so we have that place to go in trouble. I hope that this has been some kind of a help. I hope you'll look at some of these verses, check it out yourself. If there's any question or any doubt, God's able to handle that. I love this book. I love you. I appreciate this church. And I just am thankful for this opportunity, and I'm glad I get to say that to you, because you've been a blessing to me since I've been here. I haven't been here that long, but it has been a real blessing, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. One last thing before we close. I know that Brother Isaac would say this. There's a lot of flyers out there, door hangers, for Vacation Bible School. So get some of those. This has Bible verses on the back. They're good to hand out to people. Invite them to Vacation Bible School and then share the gospel with them. So there's plenty of those back there, and they're just going to be thrown away after Vacation Bible School is over. So let's get some of those and take those out. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word and the clarity. There's so much. It's so exhaustive. We can study it and read it and do it for years, for a lifetime, and we'll never come to the end of it. And I just thank you that you're a big God, and your word is as big in our lives. It needs to be bigger. We need to put more of an emphasis on it somehow, and I pray that you would help us to do that. Help us to be obedient to your book and do the things we're supposed to do. I pray that you would bless the campers tonight, their service, or whatever they're doing, and bring them back safe on tomorrow night or Friday. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I think that's it, right? Are we going to sing a song? Or
we'll go ahead and sing. If you guys want to stand, go ahead and sing a song of him.